What a joy it is to gather this morning to worship together our living God.
As Debbie noted a few moments ago, members of Highland have responded to the election news this week in so many ways. And as pastors, we know that this news is very much on everyone's minds. And from you, we have heard everything from appreciation of the outcome to deep concern. Such is the gift of our life together, and I mean that sincerely. Knowing full well this spectrum of our members and exhibiting the totally unrealistic expectation that folk often have for the sermon, one of our folks said to me at the end of the week, "I know you'll find a way to say exactly what we all need to hear." Confident that I will disappoint all of you at least a little bit in that regard, and that there will probably be abundant serving of fried preacher for lunch today, I would encourage us all to place our trust where it can be more confidently found, which is in the witness of Scripture. The Scripture bears witness to the living God who never, ever fails. To that end, we turn to the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter, picking up right where we left off last week as Jesus continues these stories that he told, in this case, the parable of the mustard seed. Listen now for God's word. Jesus put before them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." The word of the Lord. I still remember the conversation I had with my mother years ago when she told me why she liked to wash windows. Maybe she was picking up on the fact that I clearly was not liking washing windows, as she told me. But she said, "You see, when you wash windows, you start with a dirty window, you spray it and you wipe it clean, and you're done. Clean window. Most importantly, you can immediately see the results of your work. And that's important when you're a kindergarten teacher," which she was for many, many years. Because with kindergarten children, it is years before you really know what the result of your work will be, or whether your work with those children will come to fruition at all. All year long, you focus on little things, letters and reading, blocks and counting, learning to be part of a group, following directions, and so on. There are a million little things that you do as a teacher, and you won't know for a long time what shape those young lives will take. But you keep working with them year after year, trusting that those little seeds that you're sowing will make a difference. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is like that." Frankly, I think a lot of us wish he had said something different. God's kingdom is like this minuscule seed. Here, I'll hold up a couple of them so y'all can see them. God's kingdom is like that. A seed you plant in the ground, and then it becomes a shrub. A great shrub, admittedly. Tree, like a tree. And it gives its life as it provides a place for birds to make their nests. Couldn't he have said something different? The kingdom of God is like a sapling that becomes a mighty oak, maybe. Or the kingdom of God is like an immense apple tree whose fruit is sufficient to satisfy every hunger. That's not what he says. He says the kingdom of God is about small things. Things that you might miss altogether if you're not paying attention. What does this mean for us, we who long for a larger vision of ourselves and of God's work in the world? We who live in the world that Paul says is so often full of hardship, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sword, when there are times when God's kingdom seems so far away. In a world that is broken and hurting, full of pain and disappointment, we want that grand gesture. We want to be caught up in that grand sweep of God's saving, redeeming work of the whole of creation. And Jesus says, we are. But the way that this happens is through these seed-like moments in our lives, in our life together in ministry, in which this kingdom work takes place. While those seeds may not necessarily yield majestic oaks or apple trees at any given time, they do provide life-giving shelter and nurture and care for God's children. And when someone plants a seed, God's kingdom comes. Not always in this obvious way that we might want. It's not a lightning bolt or a seismic event like happened near New Zealand this morning. It's like a seed that gets dropped in the ground, covered over. Eventually, it is going to grow into a thing that gives life in God's time. It's like a tutor working with a child in the after-school program at El Buen Pastor, our partner in ministry with the Latino community here in Winston-Salem. As that tutor patiently reads with the child or works on math and trusts that this child is catching on. God's kingdom is like a group that comes to the church on a Saturday morning to tend to our beloved spaces here in hope that someone who comes here on Sunday or Monday or any other day will have an experience of grace that opens them anew to sense God's love and care and presence in the world. The kingdom is like friends getting together to discuss a concern that they have about something in the community, and out of their discussion comes a renewed sense of what it means for them to follow Jesus. It's like an older member who puts a check in the offering plate in January and then hears later that summer about the life-changing experience that one of our young people had on a mission trip, the cost of which was supported in part by the gift that he made. It's like a person who's overwhelmed by what's happening in her life who comes and shares her story with one of Highland's pastors who hears a word of care and a perspective that renews her hope and restores her sense of purpose. It's like a group of volunteers who show up at a homeless shelter to serve a meal and then share that meal with the ones for whom they prepared it. The kingdom of God is like a Sunday school teacher who challenges her class to deepen their understanding of who their neighbors are. It's like a person who stays after a fellowship meal to wash the dishes from the dinner that made it possible for someone who was lonely to spend time with people who love him. It's like a person who says to a friend who is angry or upset, "Tell me about your hurt or your fear," or who asks, "What would restore your hope?" None of those things in and of themselves is a big thing. Seeds, small acts of love and care and ministry in due season, which bring life to the world. We want the fullness of God's kingdom, don't get me wrong. We want an end to hate and strife and meanness and loneliness and suffering. We want Jesus to do something about that now. And he is doing something about it. But what he says is that the things that are happening are small, frustratingly small at times, but nonetheless growing and working. I mean, it's amazing to consider that the story of Scripture bears witness to the expansive, creative work of God who has made all things and to the grace-filled, redemptive work of God in Jesus Christ in whom God is reconciling the world and to the sustaining presence of the Spirit by whom we are all gifted and challenged for ministry. And that Scripture also reminds us that so much of this very work of God that is so immense also happens in very small ways, as small as our particular lives. As small as a few moments in a given day, the results of which may be days or months or even years away. You see, with Jesus, the way that he works, there is no act of love or grace or service that is too small to be of use when God gets hold of it. If we keep at it, those acts add up, yours and yours and yours, and then ours. And theirs, mustard seeds that yield shelter and nurture for God's people all over this good creation. Food for hungry people, life-giving worship, words of kindness, joyful fellowship, community, and world-transforming acts of service. All of them, one life, one day, one moment at a time, given for sake of someone else. All of them pointing to the one who gives them growth and a means by which the living God will continue to work in this world. And that's what we are doing today, you know. Stewardship is about more than giving money or sharing time, though it certainly includes those. It's about taking the seeds of our lives and committing them for the work of God's kingdom as you and I and all of us together seek to follow in this way of Jesus Christ. And we do this by giving ourselves for sake of God's work in the lives of other people. Some of us have much to share, and we should share generously. Others don't have as much, but generosity can happen in every life. Give the seeds of your life away and see how God brings growth in so many ways that we would never know. Several years ago, our beloved poet and novelist Maya Angelou was giving a commencement address in California. She began her remarks with a question for the students. How did you get here today? And she answered, well, I'll tell you how you got here. Lots of folks way before you were born and way before you came of age paid for you to get here. Then she said, well, I'll tell you how I got here. And she spoke of her forebears. She told of African slaves shackled in chains, huddled together, who paid for her to get there. She told about a woman in her childhood church in Stamps, Arkansas, who took time to teach Maya some manners, some culture. She told of another woman in Stamps, a dignified, elderly, literary woman who invited a young Maya Angelou to tea and introduced her to Charles Dickens and gave her a copy of A Tale of Two Cities. All of these people paid for me to get here today, she said. The slaves, Miss Culture Lady, the old literary woman who insisted I read Dickens. And then she spoke words that carried within them the essence of what stewardship and discipleship are about. She told that graduating class, now you get out of here today. Get on out of here. And with your life, pay for somebody else to get here. Sow the seeds of your life, and through what you sow, you will give life to other people. That's what Jesus is saying to his followers in this story that he tells. When signs of God's expected kingdom seem hard to come by, give what you have, do what you can. Whether big acts or small, it doesn't matter. Give of yourself and God will work through what you bring to give life to the world. We scatter the seed of our love, our care, our mercy, our energy and intelligence, imagination, and love, all of it together. And then we trust. We trust that God will work through what we bring for sake of good. So let us, you and I, let us entrust to the living God our mustard seed lives as we commit ourselves to another year in ministry, sowing across the ground of our days the small things that we have to offer day to day, and then trust that God will give growth. For surely, God's kingdom